And for the rest of us, let's open our Bibles, please, to John chapter 14. All right, we are in John chapter 14. Last week, we considered verses 4 through 6. This morning, our focus will be on verses 7 through 11. But as we begin, let's begin reading in verse number 5. Okay, so John chapter 14. In verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now sayest thou then, Show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for the time that we have had together already today. Thank you for each and every person that's here. Lord, thank you for your love for us. I pray that you would use your word this morning to draw us closer to you, to help us to understand and know you better, and to better reflect you in our lives. We ask for the help and guidance, the quickening power of your Spirit to be able to communicate your word clearly so that it's easily understood. And we ask, God, that you would give us grace as hearers to just be of ready minds, to receive your word with readiness of mind, and then by your grace to obey, to be doers of the word. Please help us to honor you throughout the remainder of this service, throughout the whole of this Lord's Day. Please do bless in the children's church this morning. Thank you so very much, Lord, for giving us the privilege to minister to these children. And we pray that your word would just reach those children's hearts this morning. Help Brother and Mrs. Hudson as they minister to them. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had told his disciples that he was only going to be with them for a little while longer before he went to where they could not yet presently come. However, he encouraged them in verse 4 by telling them that they knew the way and they knew where he was going. Well, in response to that, Thomas, who was the noted skeptic among the disciples, had said, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. So Jesus had explained in verse 6, that he himself is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but through Jesus. In other words, Thomas, rest of the disciples, I'm the way, and I'm going to the Father. Now, as seen in verse 7 of our text this morning, Jesus proceeds to explain to the disciples that Jesus was not only the way to the Father, but that Jesus himself was one with the Father, that having known and seen Jesus, the disciples from henceforth or from then on had seen the Father. But again, as verse 8 shows, just as Thomas had earlier contradicted Jesus' statement about knowing where Jesus was going and the way to get there, now Philip, another one of the disciples, speaks up, and he has failed to receive or comprehend this statement that having seen Jesus, the disciples had also seen the Father. And so this morning for our message, we're going to focus in on Jesus' answer to this man, Philip. Our message title this morning is this: The Sight That Satisfies. The Sight That Satisfies, or Seeing the Father in the Son. Seeing the Father in the Son. What we learn this morning is, first of all, going to help us to recognize again the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is God in the flesh, that he is, as Isaiah 9 describes him, the everlasting Father. Yeah, that Son that was given is himself the everlasting Father. Also, we're going to see how true satisfaction in this life and in eternity comes by having a clear sight of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're also going to learn a little bit better of what our Heavenly Father is like. What is God the Father like? And we'll see this truth, that if we claim to be God's children, if we claim him as our Heavenly Father, then his likeness should be seen in our lives. So the sight that satisfies, or seeing the Father in the Son. And we're going to be very simple this morning. We'll note two main ideas from our text. We'll note, first of all, the showing of the Father, and then secondly, the seeing of the Father. So let's begin with the showing of the Father. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now there in verse 8, Philip asked that the Lord Jesus would show the disciples God the Father. Now Philip's request here bears with it a number of implications. First of all, this shows faith on the part of Philip that Jesus was able to reveal the Father. Now how did he expect Jesus to do this? What was he expecting Jesus to do? Maybe he was expecting Jesus to show some kind of bright light, some kind of bright heavenly vision of God the Father. Well, he believed that Jesus had power to reveal God the Father to them. It also shows that Philip was hungry for spiritual things. I mean, of all the things you would ask Jesus to do for you, and granted, in context, Jesus has just said, he that seen me has seen the Father. But nonetheless, Philip says, man, Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, that's what I want. I want to see God. I want to see God the Father. And Philip asked that not only because he had a hunger for spiritual things, but he had come to understand through life that no earthly sight, no thing, no person on earth can truly satisfy, suffice, content, or fill the soul. There's only one thing that really satisfies the soul of man, and that is God himself. And Philip said, Lord, if you will show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be full. I'll be content. Now, Philip had seen a lot in life, by the way. I mean, he's seen things that you and I have not witnessed with our eyes. He saw Jesus give blind people their eyesight. He saw Jesus cause those who had never walked to walk. He saw Jesus raise people from the dead. He saw Jesus take a little lad's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed over 5,000 people with 12 baskets of leftovers. He's seen a lot, but that didn't even satisfy him. He said, I want to see the Father. Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. Folks, we need to get to the place where we understand that only God truly satisfies. We look for satisfaction in so many other things, people, the sight of so many things. Read this morning in Ecclesiastes that there Solomon said, he that loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, with much. We cannot be satisfied by material things. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. We'll not be satisfied with seeing things, earthly things. In Exodus 33:18, Moses gave the Lord this request. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now again, Moses had seen a lot, had he not? I mean, he had seen God work these amazing miracles in Egypt. He'd seen him part the Red Sea, so many different things. And yet he says, God, there's one thing, there's one hunger in my heart that is still not satisfied, that I want above everything else. I want to see your glory, God. I want to see you. The psalmist said in Psalm 17:15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." The psalmist recognized that true satisfaction yet awaited him in the resurrection, when he would see God face to face and be changed into his likeness. Isaiah 33:17 says this, "They shall see the King in his beauty." One of the blessed things about the millennial reign of Christ is that we'll get to look upon God continually. We'll get to see him face to face. That's the blessing of heaven. Revelation 22:4 says, "And they shall see his face." We sing these words, "Just to be there and to look on his face will through the ages be glory for me." The sight that satisfies is God himself. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure, seeing the Father is the children's blessed and purifying hope." Now, obviously, in our present state, you and I cannot, with our physical eyes, literally see God. Okay. However, by faith, we can have a personal relationship with God where we can, in a sense, see and know and understand him and have a closeness with him. However, in order for that to be true, in order for us to have a clear vision of God, our hearts have to be pure from sin. And that can only come by repenting and receiving his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And then as God's children, we can only have a clear, satisfying sight of God as we walk in the light of obedience. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Isaiah tells us that sin blocks God's face from us. It hides his face from us. And Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." There's a lot of God talk today. But folks, a person who's not living in peace with all men and walking in holiness can't see the Lord, regardless of what their profession may be. And Hebrews 12 teaches us that God chastens us as his children in order to keep that clear, to keep our eyes clear, so that nothing between our soul and our Savior would keep his blessed face from being seen. The showing of the Father. "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Secondly, the seeing of the Father. Verse 9, "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" So in response to Philip's request, Jesus almost expresses surprise that Philip would ask such a thing, having been with Jesus so long. He's been with Jesus likely every day for the past 3 years. He's been with Jesus for so long, and yet he still did not truly know or see him. And Jesus explained to Philip that he that has seen him, he that's seen Jesus, has literally perfectly seen the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That is in the perfect tense in the Greek language. And when you see Jesus, you have seen the Father. Seeing Jesus is seeing the Father. John 1:18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So Jesus declares the Father. Jesus' person declares the Father. That word "declared" is an interesting word. Again, and we're not trying to get too deep this morning, but it comes from a Greek word, exegetomai. We have in the English language the terms exegete and exegesis, which means to expound or to interpret. In other words, Jesus fully expounds, he fully interprets the person of God. And when you look at Jesus, you're seeing a full declaration of what God the Father is like. Show us the Father. Well, Jesus says, you look at me, you're seeing the Father. I'm declaring him. I am expounding him to you. Colossians 1:15, it says of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. And again, that word image is translated from the word literally icon. Icon. Okay, Jesus is the icon of the invisible God. He is the apocalypse of Abba. He's the revealing of the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. There's a number of important lessons to be learned in that truth. You see, by taking on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, God identified with us and he helped us to understand him, what he is like. It's been amazing what to see the hunger of some of our King's kids and their desire to know what God is like. One little fellow, not mention his name, but he, for one thing, he had not been in church. He's been in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, but had not been in church. And his testimony to us as we went and visited him and invited them for King's Kids was this. He was saying, and he said this, I believe, to John, our son. He said, I always wanted to go to church, but I never thought I would get to. That's in Landrum. I always wanted to go to church, but I just never thought I'd ever get to. And then, as we've been ministering to him, ask him if he had a Bible, he says, what's that? What's that? Does it, and then he asked this, does it talk about God? Does it tell about God? And Jennifer said, oh yes, on every page, he said, I've got to get one of those. You ever wonder what God is like, what he's really like? Do you have that hunger? I believe that God places within us that desire. Again, as others have described it, there's within us this God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. Only he can satisfy. And people are wondering, what is God like? Really? And there are lots of ideas out there. I mean, you know, there are those who say, God is everything. He's in everything. God is in the building. He's in the trees. How do we know what God is like? Well, if we believe John 14:6, we have to believe John 14:9. And we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him. That is absolute truth right there. But if we believe that, we also have to believe this. He that has seen Jesus Christ has seen the Father. And when you look at Jesus Christ, you're seeing what God is like. He declares him. He expresses him. An anonymous writer wrote these words, until Jesus came, we knew that God could build a universe, but never dreamed he would be willing to labor with carpenter's tools. We knew he was surrounded by angels and cherubim, but never thought that he would condescend to eat with publicans and sinners. We believed he held the world in space by his power, but we never suspected that he would consider a sparrow's fall to be important. Jesus associated with us here through his actions, teachings, and death, so that we might come to a better understanding of the one who inhabits the entire universe. The Savior himself exclaimed, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If we want to know what God is like, we see him in the Son. An article published years ago in a Christian periodical named Choice Gleanings reported how a certain tribe in the Congo considered one particular idol as their spiritual father. They had many idols, but they had one that they called their father. Ironically, this greatly revered image was kept hidden in a deep pit. Missionaries found that these unevangelized people were afraid to bring out this idol as they cried, if we look on the face of our Father, we will die. Commenting on this, the article read, "How different is our position as believers, looking into the face of our Father in the person of Jesus Christ. We do not die, but live. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, now we look and live. We can look on Jesus and see the Father and not be killed, but have eternal life. It's the sight that satisfies. It's the sight that saves. It's seeing God in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." That's a terrible condition to be in. Blind, not being able to see God, and hence, therefore, not being able to be satisfied. Always thirsty, never satisfied. Always searching, never satisfied. But if you know Jesus Christ this morning, that's not you. Verse 6 tells us, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." May I ask you this morning, have you seen the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ? Was there a time when the Holy Ghost opened your eyes to the light, that you saw Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Lord? Have you believed on Him? Have you been saved? Now in verses 10 and 11, Jesus continues and He infers that Philip's problem, his not recognizing that by seeing Jesus he was seeing the Father, the root of that problem was that Philip was not convinced of Jesus' oneness with the Father. And again, almost in disbelief, almost with surprise, he says, "I've been with you, disciples, so long, and yet thou, Philip, of all these, you haven't known me. You don't know me like you should know me by now." And Jesus' message, his answer, his cure for Philip here was basically the same as for the unbelieving Jews who didn't believe in Jesus' oneness with the Father. And it was basically this: "Believe my words and my works. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Believe Jesus' words and works. That's how we'll see God the Father and the Son. John 5:36, Jesus said, "I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." He said later, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." You see, preacher, I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've received him. I've seen him as God the Son. I've received him. May I ask you, do you know him? Do you know him? That should be our goal in life. The offertory this morning that Anna played was very appropriate. More and more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness. See. Do you know Jesus better today than you did 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago if you're that old? It should be our daily goal. Philippians 3:10, Paul said this, "That I may know him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." You would think those were the words of, you know, young Paul when he's just getting started. That's a little bit later on in his ministry, and yet he still has the same hunger, and he still recognizes that he hasn't arrived yet. And the idea there was literally that I may just begin to know him. He realizes, I've only touched the tip of the iceberg. I want to know my God. I want to know my Savior. And this was the problem with the Hebrews, to whom that New Testament book of Hebrews was written. Hebrews 5 verses 11 and 12 say this. And the first two words are very key. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Those first two words, of whom, help us to understand this, that the problem with those believers was not merely that they were behind in their doctrinal studies, but that they didn't really know Jesus, who was far better than Abraham, Moses, and all the angels. He did not say, of what? We have many things to say. It's of whom. And you can have all kinds of theological knowledge and yet not truly know the Lord. And you can have all the classes and not be where you ought to be in your relationship with God. And those people had backslidden, really. And you could have asked them, just as Jesus asked Philip, have I been so long time with you? I mean, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you ought to know Jesus. I mean, we shouldn't have to explain to you that Jesus is better than this, and Jesus is better than that, and Jesus is better than him and them. But you still don't get it. Vance Havner said this, poor, dull, matter-of-fact Philip. 3 years with Jesus, his preaching, his teaching, his miracles, himself, and yet, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And for 3 years he had been looking right at the supreme revelation of the Father. So long time, and yet. But we have no business feeling embarrassed and ashamed of Philip. For 2,000 years we have had his presence, his church, the Spirit, the Word. And look at us. And some of us are well over life's hill. And he has been with us all the way, so long time. And yet, how poorly we know him. How slow of heart to believe him. How little like him. No, I will blush for Philip. I will blush for myself. Is there a duller disciple anywhere? Forgive me, Lord. I shed no tears for Philip. I should weep for myself. So long time, and yet, do we know our Lord? Finally, if we are God's child, if we call God our Heavenly Father by faith in His Son Jesus Christ, then our Heavenly Father's likeness should be seen in our lives by our words and works, just as the Father was seen in Jesus by His words and works. Can you say to someone else, and again, not in the same tone and degree as Jesus said it, but could you honestly say, he that has seen me has seen my Heavenly Father? Not to perfection, don't misunderstand me, okay? Not in the same sense of Jesus. But can others look at you and see your Heavenly Father or your Savior? That's what God wants. He saved us to conform us to the likeness of His Son so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, all of whom picture and show us what the Father is like. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, Jesus is not saying if you do that, you'll become God's children. The idea is that you might be, if we could say it this, well, have you ever heard someone say this maybe of a son? He's his daddy's boy. You ever heard that? Or She's her mother's girl. Or like father, like son. And the idea is that if, as we do these things, as we bless those who curse us, as we pray for those who persecute us, then we will be like our father. Why? Here's the explanation, explanation. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Do we show that we're like our father? Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your father which is in heaven is perfect. That's just in case anybody thought they've arrived. That means we have a lifelong goal and purpose. We've got something that'll motivate us to get out of bed in the morning and get in God's book. It's so that we can get to know our Father better and better reflect Him. That's what moves us to surrender our lives to God and say, God, break me, mold me, make me like you, so that His likeness would be seen in us. Luke 6:36, be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father also is merciful. God is merciful. We ought to be merciful. We learned, we were reminded in Sunday school this morning that God hates sin. You say, I'm godly, I'm like God, but, you know, sin doesn't really bother me that much. I can hear this said or watch this and this or that, and it really doesn't. You're not like your Heavenly Father. Because He is of purer eyes than to look upon evil. The heart that's like the Heavenly Father says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's how it happens. God's likeness will be seen in our lives as we daily look with open face in the mirror of His Word. When we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see what God is like, and we see in that reflection where we are not like that. And as the Holy Ghost convicts us, and we yield to Him, He changes us, and then we commit ourselves to walking in light and in the light of what we have seen. True satisfaction comes by having a clear sight of God, seeing God in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. You say, I think if I could just have this, and if I could just have this person or this thing or this, that, I could be satisfied. You only find it in God. Show us the Father. That'll satisfy us. That's where true satisfaction comes from. You can only have a clear view of God if you've received His Son and if your heart is clean from sin. And then if we are His sons by faith in Jesus, His likeness should be clearly seen in us. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for coming to this earth as a little child and then living Your life as a young person. You show us what God would have been like and what God truly was like as a young person, one who was in submission to His parents and one who grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. You showed us what an adult man, how his life reflects God the Father. I pray, God, that our lives might reflect You. I pray that we would have a clear sight of You, that nothing would shadow the brightness shining within, that we would see Your blessed face. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the first question I'd like to ask is this: has the light of knowing and seeing God shined into your heart? We're born in darkness. Has the light shined in your heart? Are you hiding from the light? Or have you come to the light, repented of your sins, and received Jesus Christ as your Lord? How many today could say, preacher, I could tell you the time and the place. Maybe I couldn't name the calendar date, but I can tell you when that happened, when I received the Lord, when the Holy Spirit came in. I was born again into God's family with life from above. God is my Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is my Lord. If that's your testimony, would you indicate that by just quietly raising your hand. You'd say, yes, I've received the Lord. Thank you so much. If you are unable to raise your hand, would you be willing to receive the Lord right now? John gave us this word of assurance. He said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you right now receive Jesus? He stands at the door and knocks. He said, if anyone hears my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Is there anyone here today that would right now make that decision? You'd say, preacher, right here, right now, as best as I know how, I'm opening my heart. I'm saying, Lord Jesus, come in and save me. If that's you, would you just quickly raise your hand straight up into there? Yes, I want to receive Christ. All right, Christian, is there any disobedience, any distraction in your life that's keeping you from seeing and being satisfied in Jesus, seeing God? Will you confess and forsake the sin? Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. And then can others see your Heavenly Father in you? Are you like Him? Merciful, loving, holy, pure, hate sin? Are you really like God, the God of the Bible? Is there some area in your life that needs to be adjusted so that you can reflect your Father's glory? Would you turn your focus back on the Lord this morning? Get your eyes back on Him. Recommit yourself to knowing Him better and reflecting His likeness to others. How many today would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart? Maybe there's something in my life that has been clouding and dimming my vision of God, or something that's been keeping me from revealing and showing His light to those around me, but God's spoken to my heart. I'm going to obey. I'm going to respond to God. I'm going to get those things right and get my focus back on Him. If that's you, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, yes, God's spoken to my heart in that way. God bless you. Amen. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, as John put it, behold, what manner of love has been bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What a privilege. Help us to live accordingly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.